If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
If you said a wide receiver, first round pick, rookie wide receiver had 400 total receiving yards and 3 receiving touchdowns his rookie year, you would be, all right, that's not a good pick. That's a very, very poor pick. It did not pan out well. But when we get to lucky number 13 on the countdown, if you want to call it that, Ricky Pearsall, if you would have told me after that gunshot that he was going to have 400 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns, I'd say, hell yeah, that's a plus pick. It missed, 7 games, came in, played every single game after that injury, just unbelievable. Sorry, he missed 6 games, played in 11. Ricky Pearsall was a hit. The pick was a hit. I thought it was an overreach for sure. I had a second round grade on him, and I had a lot of players ahead of him. We'll talk about that and, what that looks like. But the Ricky Pearsall kind of hype train or whatever, Kyle Shanahan was right up to this point. Now, you haven't got the production, 400 yards a rookie year, not good, but overcoming a gunshot wound? Come on, man. Missed all of OTAs and minicamp with hamstring and shoulder issues. Hamstring's back again. Now, he is practicing currently as of this recording and coming off probably player of the camp type week performance. He's just been incredible since he's returned from that hamstring injury. But sky is the limit for Ricky Pearsall. Now, I do want to temper expectations because even as great as Ricky Pearsall is, and how great he's looked in camp, he's still not going to be the first or second primary target in the 49ers offense. That's going to be Christian McCaffrey. That's going to be George Kittle. When Brandon Ayuk comes back, probably going to be him. But Ricky Pearsall is going to be tied to this 49ers offense for a long time. He has 3 years remaining on his contract. And if the 49ers somehow could exercise a fifth-year option at least one time in their lives and allow a player to play on it, it would be wonderful. Imagine if Brandon Ayuk was playing this year on his fifth-year option like he should. 49ers would be in cap heaven, but I digress. Ricky Pearsall is up 10 spots from last year's countdown. He was 23 last year. Now he's up to 13. He received votes of 15, 11, 16, and 10. Comes in at 13. Changed his jersey number from 14 to 1 with Debo's departure. He is 6'1", 203, 30-inch arms, 24 years old, not too old at all. Ran a 4.41 40-yard dash. Now, he was one of the only players at the combine, regardless of position, to compete in every single combine activity. I absolutely love that. And he dominated. 82nd percentile in the 40-yard dash for wide receivers. The only wide receiver to have a sub 6.7 three cone. Change of direction is probably his best skill set. 42-inch vertical, that's 97th percentile. 10-9 broad jump, 88th percentile. 17 bench press reps, 71st percentile. Athleticism is there. Now, the funny thing is, you put in all of his measurables into mock draftable, the comps are Nate Burleson and Marvin Mims. Like, it's a little like, not a lot of elite success for guys with this body type and build, but the best football is ahead of Ricky Pearsall, and he's paired up with a perfect quarterback to meet his needs in Brock Purdy. Like, it is an absolute perfect pairing. I was upset when the pick was made just because I thought there was better talent on board. But Ricky Pearsall was a hit. Last year's almost entire draft was a hit. You got 4 starters. Home runs across the board. Now, can they take that to the next level? Dominique Pooney, Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, Ricky Pearsall. Those 4 alone, that is an elite draft class. Now, he was raised in Chandler, Arizona, played at Corona del Sol High School, went to college at Arizona State, then transferred to the Florida Gators, and he was a quarterback in high school and played against Brock Purdy, which is hilarious. He said, quote, "I think Brock Purdy put up 70 on our team," end quote. You know, wasn't a part of a lot of really quality high school football teams, Ricky Pearsall, but was coached by his dad, which you got to love. And his dad was the captain of the Phoenix Fire Department. Unbelievable. Mom, Erin, played volleyball at Northern Arizona. So you're talking about, you know, quality, pedigree, character, all those things, work ethic, and Ricky Pearsall has that. You know, and it's interesting, not only were the 49ers high on him, the Giants, you know, they did the Hard Knocks offseason, whatever, and you got to see their big board and how they valued players and how they tagged their players. They had Ricky Pearsall in a blue category, which means all-around good leader, teammate, and person. Love that. Malik Mustafa was tagged blue as well on that same chart. So it's not only the 49ers that saw him as this very clean evaluation on and off the field. That's what he is. Nicknamed Slick Rick. That's pretty cool. And, you know, it was a quarterback in high school as a slot option guy. In one game, 6A Arizona, he set the record with 342 receiving yards, 14 catches, 5 touchdowns. One game. Shanahan loves guys that can take over the game. Ran at 11.02 in the 100-meter dash. He's fast, but that's not like top-tier speed, but he's fast enough to be, you know, a quality wide receiver. Can take the top off of defense, but that's not – he doesn't stack wide receivers vertically. He makes his stuff sideways, horizontal. And that's always what he's been. He was a teammate with Brandon Ayuk as a freshman at Arizona State and admitted not only are they really good friends, he called him whenever he was drafted, but Ricky Pearsall has modeled his game after Brandon Ayuk since they were teammates. Transfers to Florida, academic honor roll, SEC, multiple years. Just great routes, catches everything. Tough player, not a physical player. Gets rerouted way too easily against press. He has excelled at that. That has gotten better since his rookie year. But, I mean, you can go through the tape, and you'll see when linebackers or nickels get their hands on Pearsall, the dude flies. I mean, he's tough and brave, but it's not like he has a lot of play strength, if that makes sense. By far one of the best runners in the draft to come out. Great Senior Bowl. Circus catches are normal for him. Probably had the best catch in all of college football in 2023. One-hander just off the charts. And, you know, an AFC scout quoted, quote, "I don't know how fast he is." That was one of my concerns. The 4.41 was a great time for him. But he gets open and has got great hands. Just needs an accurate quarterback, end quote. That's exactly the Brock Purdy compliment. Like, they are a perfect pairing. Missed zero games in his 5 years of college football. Like, Iron Man. And again, he got shot, missed 6 games, didn't miss another game the entire season. Played 11 straight. Absolutely love that. In 2022, he led the SEC in yards per reception with 20 yards per catch. That was fourth in the NCAA. Shanahan loves that stat. It's probably his favorite stat. C.J. Stroud had that famous video. He was live broadcasting the draft and was absolutely pissed off when the 49ers took him. Quote, "Bro, he's elite. I wanted him bad," end quote, after the Niners drafted him. But, yeah, the dude is just awesome. Goes out there, rookie year, missed all of training camp with a hamstring. Hamstring issue, still an issue, sadly. But once he got the chance to play, you phased him in slowly and finished the game strong, finished the year strong. I thought he was awesome. Now he's sliding into that Z Debo role. He's not Debo. Like, understand this. He plays the Z flanker wide receiver position. You can do ends around. You can do screens. You can do all that. He is not Debo. He had zero missed tackles forced his entire rookie. He didn't force one missed tackle. But he is elusive, and his change of direction is great. So, like, you can get yards after catch, which – he was good at, I have the stat here somewhere, 110 of his 400 yards were yards after catch. So he creates with the ball in his hands, but he's not running through tackles. That is not what he is. He will go out of bounds. He does not lower his shoulder. That's not what he was at Arizona State. It's not what he was at Florida. It's not what he's going to be in the pros. He's just a little bit more shifty, and that's what it is. Now, if we get to just kind of the draft. The 49ers select him at the end of the first round. Everybody was shocked. I had a late second round grade on him, and he was a part of 4 consecutive wide receivers that were drafted. He was the first one. So at pick 31, you had Pearsall, and these are their season totals. I think these players will always kind of be measured against each other. Pearsall, pick 31, 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. Xavier Leggett was picked 32 to the Panthers, 497 yards, 3 touchdowns. He by far is the most underperforming of these four. Keon Coleman picked 33, 556 yards, 4 touchdowns. And then Ladd McConkey, pick 34. That was the home run pick, and I had Ladd rated higher than Pearsall. I think that's been justified. 1,149 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he had a 200-yard playoff game as well that's not included in that. So, like, if you had to restack everything that you know now, I would go Ladd McConkey 1, I would go Pearsall 2, Keon Coleman 3, Xavier Leggett 4. I don't know what good that does, but can he step up into that Ladd McConkey role? We'll see. We'll see. Now, all that to say this, Ricky has proven he was worth the 31st overall pick. And so far through camp, he's been great. Absolutely great whenever he practices. Now, I wanted to trade back. I think a lot of people wanted to trade back. And usually the conversation is, well, yeah, you want to trade back, but you have to have a partner. Well, guess what? There was. Because the very next pick, the Carolina Panthers traded up. So you could have traded back. And my best available at that time, Zach Frazier, already looking like a Pro Bowl center. Jackson Powers Jackson, he can play center guard. Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJean, Chris Jenkins, Mike Sanders still, Ladd McConkey. That was my, I went back and looked at my big board. Those were the guys that I had. Take that for whatever you will. Finished the year, Ricky Pearsall, 31 catches, 400 yards, 12.9 yards per carry, little low, 3 touchdowns, 3 rushes, 45 yards. Not a bad year, to be honest with you. And, like, let's go into the advanced analytical statistics. 459 snaps. 295 of those were out wide. 40% were in the slot. 160 snaps in the slot. He can kind of do it all. And so last year was kind of the slot Z. I think he's going to be the Z exclusively this year. Look at his PFF scores. Not great. 63.9 overall. 64.1 receiving, 62.2 run block, 2 penalties. Not elite by any stretch, but you see that it can be there. 110 yards after contact, his average depth of target 11.3, 1 drop, 5 out of 9 contested catches. That's awesome. 0 missed tackles forced, 3 interceptions when targeted, a 93 passer rating when targeted. Not great, not bad, but you see the potential. You see what it can be. He's been pretty much uncoverable by anybody not named Upton Stout in 49ers training camp so far. Signed a 4-year, $12.5 million deal. He's already collected 6.7, so right at half of that. Rookie contracts are usually, you know, guaranteed. And again, he has that 5th-year option. So the 49ers have Ricky Pearsall locked up for 3 years minimum, possible 4 more. God, use that 5th-year option. Please use that 5th-year option. Now, using AI and my own kind of adjustments, I projected the stats. I used a couple AI sources. What are the stat projections for Ricky Pearsall in 2025? 70 receptions on 105 targets, 975 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Now, I know somebody is going to be like, man, those numbers are crazy low. That would be right on par with Ayuk's 3rd season in the NFL. Remember, CMC and Kittle are going to be the 1st and 2nd target. And when Ayuk comes back, probably Ayuk 3rd. And it's a run-heavy offense. I would be so happy if you told me, you know, Ricky Pearsall had 70 catches, 975 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I'd be psyched. I would be pumped. So let's see what, you know, Slick Rick can do in his sophomore year. Hopefully the injuries are finished. Again, has not missed a game in the pro outside of that gunshot wound. Played through shoulder, played through hamstrings. He's tough as hell. Stay healthy, keep those hamstrings good, and man, how great would it be if he turned into the number one target for Brock Purdy? Oh, having that matchup for years to come, sign me up. Let's get it done, Ricky Pearsall. Stay healthy. We freaking, it's such a fan favorite and so fun to watch in practice. Josh, thanks for writing this episode. And for us in the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie. One of the key defining characteristics, whether correct or incorrect, in the Shanahan regime is injuries. For the 49ers. And at number 12 on the 49ers roster countdown list is none other than Mikal Williams, who just got through getting injured yesterday. As of this recording, this is the 8th of August when we are recording this. Whenever it comes out, might be a little bit later. But he got down on the practice field, you know, in the joint practice against the Broncos, and it was just, it got quiet. It got quiet. You know, immediately Nick Bosa, Fred Warner run over. They're checking up on him. Now, thankfully, he was able to get up and walk off gingerly to the athletic room and all that stuff. And Shanahan gave the report that, you know, it was a hyperextended knee. They don't think there's a lot of damage, but they're going to have to wait till they get all of the answers. Goodness. I mean, this is the first round pick of this draft. And at a position that you are very vulnerable, the injuries just, you cannot get away from it. Now, is there a reason for a hyperextended knee, lack of stretching, whatever? I don't think so. But, man, it just sucks. And we're talking about a player that is number 12 and could be higher. Yeah, he had votes of 13, 9, 13, and 14 as most impactful player for the 2025 season. And now who knows how long he's going to be out. So let's dive into the background, the film, what makes him so important to the 49ers, and cross our fingers that hopefully he's going to be back. My guess, and this is a prediction, I could be way off, and this is just a guess, I think he'll miss a couple weeks. I do think that he will be ready for week one. I do wish he was at training camp and could get all those necessary reps, but that's kind of a best-case scenario. Hopefully things don't swell up too bad and all that stuff, and it all happened on the left leg, which he's had the left ankle sprain last year. Not good. He wears jersey number 98. He is a beast. 6'5", 260 pounds, 34 3/8 inch arms. I mean, incredible. Probably one of his best traits is just the arm length. And you heard Trent Williams talk about how hard it is to block him because he uses his arm so well. Just turned 21 years old. June 29th was his birthday. So he was drafted at 20. He'll be 21 at the end of his rookie year. This is a player that is all about potential. If he would have came out of the draft 2 years ago, he would have been a top five pick. Now, he didn't go through a lot of the testing because of the ankle injury. But you're looking at, you know, comps, Cleveland Farrell, Trayvon Walker. You know, those are top 10 picks. He has everything that they have and more. Went to, you know, grew up in Columbus, Georgia. Went to Hardaway High School. And then stayed locally and went to Georgia. Go Dawgs. His name is Mikal DeAnthony Williams, and he's the son of John and Shamika Williams. Now, his mom was a three-sport athlete who was in the Fort Valley State Hall of Fame for what she did in athletics. He's the oldest of five siblings. He's got four sisters, and he's big on embracing the older brother role. The intimidation factor would be off the charts. He was the Maxwell Football National High School Player of the Year. Received the Richard Seymour Family Scholarship. He was the fourth highest-rated recruit coming out of high school. Chose USC initially, then switched to Georgia. And Kirby Smart, the head coach of Georgia. Mikal Williams' best trait, his work ethic. The 49ers have seen that firsthand through minicamp, OTAs. That dude is out there ready to work. He's a college football national champion. I was at that game in 2022 against USC. Two-time All-SEC. But last year, which a lot of people were expecting him to go out there and be like, you know, one of the best defensive players in the country. Had a really high ankle sprain, and he played through it, missed a couple games. But the 49ers love that aspect, and all of them talked about how if there's one key characteristic where you can, you know, pigeonhole a guy as a 49ers player, is if they love football or not. And Glenn Schumann, who is, you know, Williams' defensive coordinator at Georgia, this is the way he described Mikal Williams. Quote, "There's guys that play football, and then there's football guys. It's people who are truly passionate and love the game. It's part of their DNA. They just have a natural toughness to them. They enjoy and embrace everything that comes with the game. Mikal had that from the first day we had him," end quote. That is the thing that stands out. It is all about football with Mikal Williams. And then you get the trade with Bryce Huff. It's a perfect complementary piece where Mikal Williams is already established as a solid run defending edge player. Can that translate into a higher pass rush productivity? Georgia's kind of notorious. They don't use their defensive ends. You know, we went through this with the Robert Beal tape. They occupy blockers with their defensive ends. They do not pin their ears back and blitz off the edge. They didn't do it with Nolan Smith. They didn't do it with Jalen. Like, you can go on and on and on the amount of defensive linemen from Georgia that have gone on to have a lot of success in the NFL. But it's different because they occupy their blockers and then allow their other players, their athletes, to play behind them. Chris Kucerik and Robert Saleh don't do that. Now, he's got over 1,100 snaps in his career, and he's only going to be 24 years old at the end of his rookie deal. This is a young, high-potential player. The 49ers drafted him 11th overall this year. They tried to trade up for him. They thought the Saints were going to take him, and so they tried to trade up. Shanahan said, this is Shanahan's quote on the try to trade up, quote, "We had a good idea he was going to go earlier, but you don't actually know. We thought about going up, and John definitely attempted to trade into the top 10, it's kind of, you know, supposed, but they shot him down. And so we were ready to watch him go, and we were ready to go to our second and third option, but he didn't go where we thought he was going to go. Then we got to our pick, and I was like, hey, I can't believe you tried to trade up there. Of course he was coveted. That's just what it is, end quote. So, like, got a tongue-in-cheek, but you got to love it. They were willing to trade up to 9 and spend a lot of extra resources. Who knows? That could have been the Upton Stout pick. That could have been, you know, who knows, the Nick Martin pick, one of those third-round picks. You got away with it, and so good job. Now, our pre-draft write-up, and I was on record saying I thought the pick was going to be Mikal Williams. We nailed the Mikal Williams and Alfred Collins pick. Not too many after that. C.J. West, we got those three this year. But this was our pre-draft write-up before the Niners selected him. Effort, length, athleticism. Best run defender off the edge. And John Lynch kind of echoed that after the draft in his post-draft press conference. John Lynch said, quote, "Chris Kucerik said that whenever they were going in their draft meetings, I think he's the best edge setter in football. I think he's the best edge setter in this draft class," end quote. So we are synonymous there. I saw what they saw, and I completely agree. Back to our pre-draft write-up. Played hurt most of 2024, got an ankle injury week one, but his tools are top five pick worthy. Exactly how you want an edge built. Powerful, difficult to move, makes him a very reliable run defender. Wish he was more fluid in space. That's kind of a knock. But whenever you move him to the inside to blitz, that's not as much of an issue. Uses his arm length as well as any D lineman and rarely lets tackles get into his frame. That's kind of what Trent Williams is talking about, how hard it is to block guys like him. High effort player despite playing on an injured ankle. 2023 tape. Much better than 2024 tape. Players struggle blocking him, just does his job all the time. Power and violence as a rusher, needs to keep improving there with the pass rush plan. And again, we have the tape. You want to go back and watch the college tape and me break it down on what you're watching? That's up on the 49ersrush.com. That's up on our Patreon. As soon as you sign up, 7-day free trial, you get all of those. Just go to the player breakdown section. You'll see them all there. His career, 67 tackles, 23 tackle for losses, 14 sacks, 4 pass breakups, 1 fumble recovery, 3 forced fumbles. Dude played well and consistent, just the pass rush productivity wasn't there. If you just look at 2024, played in 12 games, again was banged up, 21 tackles, 9 tackle for loss, 5 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, 15 hurries. PFF grades overall, 78. Pass rush, 71. Run defense grade, 83. That is off the charts awesome. And, you know, how we rated them. Experience, I gave them a 5. They rotate so much at Georgia, you're not going to get a lot of snaps. Versatility, an 8. Speed, 6. Acceleration, 8. 49ers fit, I had them as a 9 out of 10. The lack of experience was the only thing that made me bump them from a 10 to a 9. Usually the 49ers like to go after those super high upside experience guys. He didn't have the experience. But so far since joining the Niners, he's living up to the hype, according to Coach Kucerik. Has looked good in OTAs and position drills, according to multiple sources. Very excited to see how this kid progresses throughout the year. But the asterisk and the elephant in the room, how's that knee going to turn out? The MRI should be coming back soon. I think he's going to miss a couple weeks to a month, but I do think that he should be ready by week one. I hope that he should be ready by week one. He's an absolute stud. I cannot wait to see what he does because it's going to help Bosa. He's going to help the linebackers. The run game is paramount for Robert Saleh. The 2024 49ers defense, one of the worst run defenses in the history of the 49ers organization. Mikal Williams ain't going to let that happen. Not in 2025, and I do expect him to be back early, but will miss some time. Again, this was recorded before we get the full results of that knee issue. But Mikal Williams, can't wait to see you play, man. I thought it was a great pick. I thought it made a lot of sense, and he has already lived up to the hype. Just stay healthy. Thank you to Josh who wrote this episode, and for us in the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Our highest rated rookie on the 49ers roster countdown, and you know, we had him, Alfred Collins at 11, Mikal Williams at 12. I mean, it was almost a tie break. I went Alfred Collins because I thought, you know, he would be an immediate day one starter. That hasn't been the case so far. I'm recording this after the very first preseason game against the Broncos, which he did play, played 25 snaps. It was okay, decent, nothing too great. Wasn't out there with the starters. Mikal Williams is going to be a starter. So I do believe, you know, we definitely should have had these inverted, but we did it right after the draft and before training camp. It's one of the many flaws of this process. But, you know, Alfred Collins was the guy that I very, very much wanted the 49ers to pick, and it's going to take them some time. And I know that 49ers fans don't like that, and they want to unwrap their presents right off the bat. They want every single rookie to be starting week one. You know, they want Nick Martin to start week one. They want Upton Stout to start week one. They want Jordan Watkins to start week, Connor Colby. That's just not the way the NFL works. And whenever you're looking at first-round picks, it's a 50% hit rate for first-round picks. Second-round picks drops down to like 40%. Now, it's way too early. And if there is, if I hate whenever I use language like this, but like if there's somebody out there that say that Alfred Collins is a bust, we've played one preseason game, that is not somebody that understands football, the NFL, or just how things, it makes sense. You look at somebody like John Lynch. John Lynch didn't play for the first 3 years. Now, it's a little bit different NFL. I understand that, but shoot, look at our wide receiver that's now in a holdout situation. Juwan Jennings didn't play one game his entire rookie year. And sometimes players just need development. And whenever Alfred Collins is switching the defensive scheme from a two-gap control the line of scrimmage scheme at Texas to a penetrating four, you know, even man front, it's just different. It's going to take time. Going to take time. So let's get to know Alfred Collins, the 43rd overall pick. He is a behemoth, one of our Rush Crush players that, you know, I absolutely love this dude, loved his tape. I am a Longhorn fan, so I am biased, but he showed up in the biggest moments of the biggest games. That's what I liked most about him. Wears jersey number 95, 6'6", 332. Dude is giant. 94th percentile height of defensive lineman, 92nd percentile weight. 34 5/8-inch arms. He has a longer wingspan than LeBron James. I mean, just uncanny. 23 years old, 26-inch vertical, 8-inch broad jump, not great. You put in his measurables, it's hard. The way that he looks, it's Chris Jones. That's what he looks like. Now, he plays more like Akeem Hicks. That's not a negative. But can that translate to the NFL? We haven't seen it yet. He's made it through training camp, which was rough. And he's made it through his first preseason game, which was okay. There's some learning tape. Not amazing, not dominant, not any of those things. But you see the power that he possesses with his size. And if you can uncork that, wow. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the hustle. He's got the effort. Made two elite hustle plays in that first preseason game. Like, elite. 20 yards downfield, you know, outside the numbers for a defense. It's the biggest man on the field, hustling like no other. Like, that's huge. He's from Cedar Creek, Texas, played at Cedar Creek High School, went to the Longhorns, and waited his turn. He born and raised in Bastrop, and, you know, Mother Benita, she played basketball at Texas, was a letter winner 5 years, 1990 and 1994, has three sisters, two of which play basketball and run track. Family's full of athletes. High school, football, basketball, track and field. He did shot and disc, was the defensive line player of the year, not once, but 2 years, for District 13-5A, and they play some ball there. Bastrop, it's small, but they still play some ball. He was a five-star recruit, number five player in Texas's recruiting class, National Honor Society, and he committed to Texas over Alabama, Oklahoma, A&M, Baylor, a whole bunch of different schools, and was a fifth-year player at Texas. Had to wait his turn, and he just had nothing but NFL defensive line talent ahead of him and was a rotational player up until 2024, whenever he had his best season, by far. Second-team All-American, first-team All-SEC. He's a humans, dimensions, and organization major. I love that. Played all over the line. And just because he's huge, like, that's the thing. The similarities to Chris Jones make sense because they're same size identically. But he played defensive tackle left and right side, nose tackle, nose guard, right in that 1-0 technique. He's played 4-eye. He's played 5 outside. He's played all over the place. They, you know, Pete Kwiatkowski, the DC at Texas, would put him on top of tight ends at times because it was just such a mismatch. Whenever they were playing run-heavy teams that would do double tights, they'd put him over the tight end and just abuse the hell out of him. 1,700-plus college snaps over 5 years. Missed one game, but that was his redshirt rookie year where it wasn't even a health issue. He just... there was too much depth, and he just didn't get playing time. So it never missed a game because of injury in 5 seasons, 64 out of 65 games played. His older cousin was with the 49ers as well, Trent Brown. You remember the old 7th-round pick, and then Shanahan traded him, but, like, that's his older cousin. He's going to play a pivotal role in what the 49ers do this year. And you look at the 2024 49ers, the run game is where they struggled. Robert Saleh comes in. How do you fix that? You draft nothing but run pluggers. The first 4 picks of the draft, Kale Williams, run stuffer. Alfred Collins, run stuffer. Nick Martin, run stuffer. Upton Stout, run stuffing nickelback. Like, that is the priority, and that is where Alfred Collins fits. They drafted in the 2nd round, 43rd pick. This was our pre-draft write-up. Elite build, potential, and upside. Best block-shedding defensive tackle in the draft. That dude just tosses people left and right. Strength of the point of attack is impressive. Violent and consistent punch. Anchors well versus duo. He has struggled with that so far through training camp. Needs more pass rush moves besides the bull rush. This was always the big concern and why Alfred Collins went in the 2nd round and not the 1st round. The way he's built, this is a 1st round player. But right now, he's a one-way guy, and that's run game. He has to develop into the pass rush. That is the part that Chris Jones had. And has that Alfred Collins hasn't developed yet. And all the beat writers putting out there, all the negatives and one-on-ones, this dude, that's not where he wins. That's not where he wins. He doesn't win in pass rush. He was a two-gapper that has to translate into that. So that's part of it. Now, my favorite thing about him, and I wrote this in pre-draft write-up as well, will play on early downs only. Now, you look at the Broncos' first preseason game, he's playing on 3rd and long. You're trying to allow him to develop and learn what he can and can't do, but that's not what he's going to be used at for the 49ers early. He's going to get snaps week 1, guaranteed, unless an injury happens between now and then, knock on wood. But this dude's going to be in the rotation, worst-case scenario, and you're talking 25 kind of snaps a game type of a guy that can develop into more. And he needs to develop. He needs time. It's a completely different scheme. My favorite thing about him, and I mentioned this before, he made his biggest plays at the biggest moments of the season in the biggest games. You watch the OU, A&M, Georgia. You watch the playoff, you know, college football playoff games. This dude shows up. When it's fourth down, third and short, goal line, fourth quarter, watch for 95. His best games were always against the best opponents. You watch those Georgia games alone, which we have up on our Patreon page in the 49ersrush.com. You can go watch those now. Like, dude shows up. Amazing. So many goal line stops. And, you know, amazing effort. That was in the, you know, the write-up. And you saw it in the very first preseason game. It diagnosed the screens very well. Stack and shed is elite. Now, he had a calf strain. And that was kind of a little bit of an issue. The contract of all the second rounders was a disaster. And so you had two fully guaranteed, the 33rd and 34th overall pick. Then no second rounder signed for 2.5 months until Alfred Collins crossed the picket line. And, you know, some 49ers fans, which I don't understand, they're like, oh, he held out. It's about him. That dude went against the entire second round, all of the agents and everything, crossed the picket line and was the first one to sign in 2.5 months of the second rounders. Like, and he said, I didn't want to miss a day camp. And he did not. And he has not. He's been out there for every single damn day. So for the people that kind of give him a little bit of a hard time because of the contract situation, you got to put it in context. It's way more complex than that. This dude crossed. 9 people should have signed before him. He crossed all those guys, jumped to the head of the line, took less than he probably could have got if he did hold out more. He wanted to play. He's all about football. You look at Alfred Collins' career numbers, 141 tackles, 18 tackle for losses, 7 sacks, 1 interception, 12 pass breakups. That's the outlier anomaly. His length and size, he gets into the passing frame window of quarterbacks. And the very first, you know, fourth down against the Broncos, he almost got a pass breakup. Missed it, but it was close. Would have been a turnover on downs. Didn't get it, but, like, you're going to see that. 2 forced fumbles. He's only got started 28 games out of 64. He was a rotational piece until the last 2 years. And once he got in the starting lineup, there was no moving him. Like, he is just... he's uncanny. Overall grade, 87.2. That's freaking awesome. And again, you want to go back to 2023. His overall grade was 79.9. Pass rush grade's not terrible. 69.8. True pass set grade, 77. Like, it's not bad, but he needs work there. His run defense grade, 85. Off the charts. Off the charts. Experience, 8. Versatility, 9. Speed, 4. Acceleration, 6. Those are the ratings. 49ers fit scale, 10 out of 10. Like, and I, you know, I put the tweet out there before day 2 even started the draft. The number one player on the 49ers big board is Alfred Collins, in my opinion. That's who they took. I don't know if he was the number one player or not. We'll never know that answer. But the fit just makes sense. It does. Played 16 games last year, like you said. If you're worried about, like, injuries and stuff, not saying he won't ever get injured, 100% injury rate in the NFL, dude's never missed a game. 64 out of 65 games, and that one game he missed was his redshirt freshman year where he's rotated out. That was it. Never missed a game in 5 years because of injury. Can he win a starting job? Eventually, yes. Do I think he's going to be out there starting week 1? Probably not. It's possible, but he's going to have a role. This dude is plain. It's what it is, and if he can hit his ceiling... oh, my gosh. And even if Alfred Collins never develops into that true pass rusher, that is where second-round defensive tackles go. That's a normal thing, to draft run-plugging defensive tackles in the second round. You look at the Eagles, they did it with a top-10 pick. Like, it, in today's NFL, if you have an elite skill set, that is worth it. Now, you want it to develop into a pass rush and a true 3-down defensive tackle. And the body, the athleticism, the tape says that can happen, but you don't rush that. Allow the young pup to develop at a pace that you're not giving him too much. Man, if he gets 20 snaps week 1, that's fine. And maybe you just increase him to about 35 snaps at the end. He's a rotational piece his rookie year. If he earns more, great. But this is a big old dude. The biggest player, one of the biggest players on the football team, if not the biggest. 6'6", 332. Him and Trent, they stand shoulder to shoulder now.
I love Alfred Collins. I love his mentality. I love what he brings to the table. You got to develop more. You got to get ready for the program. You got to be more consistent. But can the 49ers afford to give him that time? Well, Evan Givens injured. Jordan Elliott's currently injured. That makes it harder. But number 11 on our countdown is Alfred Collins. We are 81 videos down. We got 10 more. Have to say thank you to Ben, executive producer of this episode, and for us and the 49ers Rush team, we'll just keep counting them down.